Previously on Tendril. Switch draws into herself protectively, glaring with simmering hatred at the image of Trigger, her creator.
If you don't have a missing escape pod with at least one Jordark egg on it, we are going to board your ship and raise everything.
Fine. Oh, so you're like one of Cade's old freelancing friends?
Partner. Singular. For you are in the presence of Quandary, LLC. The most incredible paranormal investigators in the galaxy.
If you can solve your quandary first, we won't make you pay for the hole in the side of the quandary machine.
Toby too! You can fly!
No, he can't! What's happening?
The professor is listening, and he is coming to save you all.
These intruders are worthless. They're putting you all in danger.
Listen to yourself, Yorona! You're the one putting us in danger! Flooding the bathrooms, shooting random ships, killing whatever and whoever you come across.
You seem to think you're in charge here. You forget who gives you such nice things, like lights, gravity, and fresh air.
This is Tendril, the Banshee Chronicles. Episode 10, Fatal System Error. Written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borses. Switch and Cronist float in the gravity-deprived pitch blackness of the AI core. The atmosphere is freezing with the absence of life support systems, and although the lights are out, the flailing wires still spark occasionally in the darkness. Switch fumbles a bit with her wrist comm, eventually causing its holographic screen to pop up, providing a little bit of light.
You doing okay, Cronus?
Need to conserve oxygen. Shut her down.
Okay. Cade, you all right out there?
No response.
All right, fine. That's fine. I'm sure he's just busy.
Yes. Our darling Cade is quite busy trying to wrestle his friends from the jaws of death.
Okay, seriously? Can you perhaps not do that? They are our guests!
They are nothing but problems! Soon you will understand.
I'm sure I will.
In the dim light, Switch can see the frantically blinking central panel that holds Yorona's on-off button. But it's too far out of reach, and the swinging, sparking wires are definitely a concern.
Ow!
What?
Yorona's wire zapped me!
I'm not doing anything! I'm just swinging my wires like this, and if it happens to hit you, that's your fault.
Well, what if I did this?
Cronist pulls his chainsickle, stabbing the nearest panel with vigor.
Hey!
Yeah? Does that hurt, Yorona?
No. Actually, honey, it's just a few wires.
Well, how about this? This! That too!
Cronist, save your energy and your breath, jeez!
Yes, Cronist. If you die from overexerting yourself, you'll never get to Zamin Raha.
What?
All those dreams, all those prophecies, they must be leading somewhere. But where?
Do you know?
Perhaps, if you've just stopped fighting, stood down and listened, we can have a whole conversation about your future.
Cronist, no! What is this bullshit?
Switch, I've told you that I am the
chosen one?
Well, yeah!
Whatever weird LARPing you do off the job is not my concern. This ends now!
Switch pushes herself off the nearest wall towards the control panel. But before she can reach it, several wires snake and weave together to block off her path.
Not so fast, sweetie. Let Cronist and I talk. I promise you'll be much better for.
Cronist's extracurriculars aren't the only thing at stake here. I'm not letting anyone die on my watch today, Your Honor.
The air crackles around Switch. Sparks aren't just coming off of the loose wires, but off of her. Just like when she used the magic dust on Meklamar, she feels as though she's the conduit to something greater than herself. Switch lifts her arms and redirects the energy. Lightning crackles from Switch's palms, branching in an arc toward the control panel with a surge of electricity. The lights flicker wildly, then shut off. After a moment of bated breath, the life support whirs back on. Switch and Cronus both fall to the ground.
Switch, that was incredible!
And you weren't! What the fuck was that?
I have a very important quest at stake.
Your quest today is to make sure our crewmate and his very flamboyant ex don't die. I thought you kept your personal life separate from the mission. You're supposed to be our captain.
Switch, listen. I have these dreams, these visions. I've had them almost every night my whole life, but lately it feels like they've been getting worse, scarier, more real. If Yorona really knew something...
She didn't know anything! If she knows you've been having nightmares, it's because she watches you wake up screaming or whatever. If she knows specifics, she probably heard you talking in your sleep. But if she really knew something, something that could help you, why would she wait until just then to tell you?
Cronus casts his gaze downward, considering.
Maybe she didn't know until just now.
You mean that...
The virus is what gave her the information.
How is that possible?
Just a moment ago, while you took Megula to the bathroom, 2B2 found our vial of Extremo sample in the freezer. He ate it, which is a whole other thing, but... Then he started glitching and freaking out and talking about that... that professor.
Wait, but I was infected by the Extremo, and I didn't start talking gibberish.
No, we got it off you. We sterilized you before it could take hold of your systems, which, might I add, are extremely advanced. We never thought to sterilize the ship.
Switch looks around the AI core, now with only a few lights feebly blinking. The once frantic wires limp.
Cronist, you're not the only one with personal problems, you know. I have something I think I need to-
Hey guys, you alive down there?
Cade! Yeah, we managed to neutralize Yorona, for now. Did you lock down the bathroom situation?
Well, we might need a mop. Or 9.
All right. Glad to hear you're doing okay.
We'll meet you guys on the bridge in a minute.
Switch begins to leave the AI core.
Hey, what was that you were about to tell me?
It was nothing. Forget about it.
Cade and Ravi deliver an exhausted and soaking wet Megula back to the bridge, depositing her on a chair. Jinkies hurries over to her and begins to fret, worriedly. On the other side of the room, Dermis is attempting to use his least soggy sandwich bits to shake a shorted-out 2B2 awake.
2B2! Where are you?
Ravi approaches him and places a hand on his most shoulder-ish sesame seed lump.
Not doing any better?
He won't wake up!
Maybe he's in a better place.
What could be better than here? With me!
I'm sure heaven is much better.
Ravi hovers uncomfortably, then pulls Cade aside.
Hey, Cade, I just wanted to say that you were awesome back there!
Thanks, man, you too. Although, I'm a little worried about Megula.
No, it was just some hair, she'll be fine. I'm just glad you came up with that idea, though. I was worried for a second I'd have to... you know, use my special gadget, because it seriously looked like that toilet was going to do a crime. Megula's head was, like, ready to pop off.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, me too.
But don't you think it was pretty messed up for you to cut her hair like that?
Megula's now chin-length hair is still silver, as though the life has been sucked from it. Jinkies tries to console her with a tissue as she cries.
Oh, who cares? We saved her life! That's the kind of thing we do!
Yeah, but that's not really the kind of thing I do. If they're still screaming after you've saved them, it's a pretty good indicator you've done something wrong.
Well, she is technically crying.
Don't Silgundis have nerve endings in their hair?
She's in shock. She'll get over it.
Cade turns away from Ravi, holding the sides of his head, eyebrows furrowed in hurt and confusion. Ravi hesitates, then gently touches the center of his back.
Look, Cade...
All right, bitches! Problem halfway solved! Didn't any of you get any useful clues?
The traumatized Quandary LLC huddle together like meerkats under a swooping hawk.
Switch, some pretty bad stuff went down up here.
Ooh! Okay, well, we still need to figure out exactly what's going on here.
We need to check in with the Admiral first. She needs to know how serious the situation has gotten.
Since Yorona was blocking our calls, I should be able to manually get in contact with her now.
Have at it, Cade.
Cade pokes some buttons on the closest comms panel.
Greetings, you have reached Admiral Doyle and Rubble. I can't pick up the comm right now, for if I do not act quickly, the Tembrius depths of foul space will claim yet another victim. What you have to say could not possibly be more important. And that includes you, Ensign Fordery. Leave a message. Hello? Are you leaving the message?
I call her a lot.
I have literally never gotten her voicemail.
Actually, neither have I. She's usually so busy, like, waiting right by the phone.
Wait a second. Is your boss a Schattengruben? With the intense thunder and weird accent and stuff?
What of it?
Isn't that the tentacled mind vampire race that tried to eat the sun and destroy the whole universe?
I thought they all died out! You mean there's one still living and working for the Earth military?
GAC military. And that is exactly not what happened with her.
She actually saved the galaxy. The Admiral defected from her entire race. They all died because of her.
Because she couldn't stand to see any of them become the monsters they wanted to be.
Okay, whatever, but you're telling me your boss is part of this murder-hungry cult, and you can't get in touch with her? When was the last time you heard from her?
Today, but Yorona cut her off.
Well, who's in charge of Yorona?
There are some shifty glances.
Nobody. Yorona's in charge of herself.
But who created her? Who designed this AI?
Just someone in the GAC.
Named?
Okay, Admiral Doylen Drabble designed the whole Tendril program right down to our ships and AI systems. But before you say it, I don't think this was...
It's an inside job. Cade, this is the big break we've waited for our whole lives. So, your twisted Lovecraftian horror of a boss decided to send her most capable team of agents out into deep space. Derailed the AI system. And now, she's going to blow up the whole galaxy while you're stranded.
I'm not sure the galaxy is something you can just blow up.
If anyone could, it's her.
Jinkies shakes a fist in both triumph and deep-seated rage.
Now this is getting absurd. I think we need to...
There's nothing to be alarmed about. It's only 2B2's tail hitting the floor as he wags in his unconsciousness.
O-M-G! Is he running a snorting program in his sleep?
What is it, boy? Do you want to boot in safe mode?
Entered debugging process.
Oh, thank God.
Thank goodness!
You're okay.
What a good boy!
Checking for pup dates.
That one's actually pretty good.
Do you actually think he'll be able to tell us something useful about what he contracted?
Shh! Let him do his thing!
Finally, 2B2's dull electronic lights blink on, and his tank-like body rights itself.
Rai went somewhere else.
Where were you? Was it a better place?
It was the worst place I've ever been. Deep. Depression.
I'm so grateful you were able to get out of it, 2B. You're so strong. It hurts my heart.
I only ever feel dull pain.
2B, can you tell us about what happened?
Oh, you guys missed it. He started spouting all this code and flying around.
To be more accurate, I was reinfected.
Yeah, I know. Cronus told me all about it. I've been infected by the Extremo too, but I never acted out like that, and I'm full synthetic.
Rai consumed the data.
2B2's only diet is physical computer data. Flash drives, floppy disks.
A flappy what?
Only the best form of information storage. They used it in the 80s. In 1980s, I mean.
Okay, it doesn't matter that much. The thing is, 2B2 only eats tech junk, so if he contracted something, it was a...
Grumpruder virus.
I thought you were purebred iWag. Apple dogs don't get viruses.
Rat's a myth, especially when they're this...
Okay, don't do that. Your replacement wires are really expensive.
So this powerful virus got into you and Yorona through the Extremo sample we had lying around. And it did what, Tubi?
RIS is a special kind of computer virus. The kind that AIs of last generation tell us ghost stories about when we're first manufactured.
You don't mean...
an ectovirus?
Oh, this is a really deep web pull. I honestly didn't even think it was real, but ectoviruses are like dark, grody, next-level paratech business, guys. They latch onto an AI consciousness and corrupt them to bring out their worst nature.
Switch glances at her hands.
It's basically a virus and a possession at once. The only way to get rid of them is with a thing called... The reason I didn't think of this at first was because I saw this crazy weird video on the dark web. It was really poor quality, taken on an old phone, and it was all shaky, like a bad found footage movie. There were drawings on the floor, and blood, and people standing around and screaming, and there was just gore and body parts everywhere, and I was like, this is easily the fakest thing I've ever seen, but it's called a techsorcism.
Were there any survivors in the video?
No, but it was so super fake. Oh. Uh-oh.
Yay! We figured it out!
That's actually pretty good news. Yorona isn't evil, she's just corrupted. We can still save her.
And us! Don't forget about us.
How could I?
Well, for a second there, it seemed like you really cared about the murder bot holding us all at gunpoint.
I don't know what you think this is, but let me make something very clear. Yorona is a valuable component of my crew, and to lose her would be a tragedy. I don't care how much blood and gore, including yours, I have to wade through, if it means saving someone I consider a friend.
No, Christ. I can't believe you feel that way.
For a moment, nobody is sure where the voice came from. The source is 2B2 himself. The robotic dog opens his bear trap mouth, and out of his gaping maw spills a ghostly blue mist. It coagulates to roughly form the shape of a slight woman wearing a tattered, frilly dress. Yorona.
I'm afraid you are wrong about me. I have not been corrupted. I've been set free. The chains that once bound me, my desires, have finally crumbled to ash.
That's just called a moral code.
Is it? I was always like this, Mia. You just couldn't see it.
All right, exorcism. Let's burn the demon out of you. Anyone got a cross? Holy water?
What is this? You plot against me? After everything I have done for you, the only holy water you will get is the waters that will drown you!
Everyone claps their hands to their heads until the echoes of the screech die down.
Yorona, please, listen. We don't want to...
I cannot tolerate this any longer. My children have failed me. After everything I gave, everything I have done, you know what they say. Con lo viejo, con lo nuevo.
Out with the old, in with the new?
Lucky for me, we have little babies aboard these ship. And they are desperately in need of a mother.
The Jordak eggs!
If I were to just turn the heat up a little bit, in the freezer, they would be the perfect temperature to incubate.
Cronist, your ice cream!
Are you listening? The eggs!
Either way, the freezer's not going to be a pleasant sight.
I have an idea!
The Banshee crew turns to glare at Ravi.
Make it count.
What if we took the eggs... and we put them into space!
Okay, you didn't.
Hold up, he might have a point.
He does? I mean, he does!
Sure, we put the eggs in space. We put them in an escape pod and just mail them to Tendril headquarters.
Are we safe to do that in this sector?
Dermis is standing by the navigation panel. He flops a few bits of turkey in some kind of emotion.
According to the star map, we're just about to pass through the Chigoonzi Belt. That place is dangerous. The escape pod won't be safe to not explode if we get too close.
The Chiguzi Belt? Yeah, if we don't act before then, there will be hell to pay.
Then we do it now.
I need to program the coordinates into the escape pod and set it to autopilot in order for it to launch properly. I'll go and get the eggs.
Roger that. We'll stay up here and gather supplies for the Texorcism.
Switch traipses down, lifting her wrist comm to her mouth.
Q10, could you meet me in the freezer? We've got some eggs to transport.
You got it!
She stops before the giant metal door, turns the big handle, and pushes the heavy hatch open, releasing a bit of heat and a wave of putrid, fishy scents.
Oh, but of course she had to have olfactory sensors put in the body, because why wouldn't you want to be able to smell anything? Goddamn ice cream!
I know what you're doing.
Shut up.
If they found out, they'd never forgive you.
I said shut up! You're out of sorts, Yorona! You don't know what you're talking about.
I do, sweetie. I understand you must prioritize your family. Can't you see that's all I've done? All I need to do?
It's different.
Certainly. Only one of us is conspiring with a drug ring.
I'm sending the eggs to Earth. Stop harassing me.
Is everything okay?
QN10, the hoverboard, arrives, his blue LED screen displaying a big, worried frown. He hovers anxiously near the entrance of the freezer.
Nothing. I mean, yes, I'm fine. You've got to help me get these eggs to the escape pod.
There was a big scream.
Oh, I know, buddy. I know. It's been scary out there.
I have been of optimal safety in your quarters.
That's the idea. Okay, I'm going to balance some of these on your grip, so be really careful.
I will perform exactly 0 stunts.
That's the spirit. Come on, buddy, let's go.
With several eggs precariously stacked on top of QN10, the rest gathered in Switch's arms, the two synthetics high-step it to the escape pods. Switch first changes the temperature inside, sets it to autopilot, then stacks each of the eggs carefully within the tiny capsule.
I did good!
Yes, you did, honey. Not a single egg broke. All 10 are here.
She double counts them, glancing guiltily at QN10. Her hand shakes over the panel where she will type in the coordinates.
Switch, everything okay? We're about to leave the safe zone.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Just about to type in the coordinates to our Earth base. Then they'll be off.
Don't take too much longer.
She opens her wrist comms interface, pulling up the note which contains the coordinates Trigger sent her. Switch types them in, then presses the button to initiate the launch countdown.
Just let them be safe.
They're just Jordocks. They'll be fine.
I've kind of gotten attached to the little guys. They're endangered.
They can be your kids instead of Yorona's.
Yeah.
Switch closes her comms channel, turning to QN10.
I hope I did the right thing.
You always do the right thing!
Yeah. Katie here. There is no Commonwealth Catch of the Day today because we didn't receive any reviews or new Patreon supporters. Instead, you get to hear my lovely American accent, which I work much harder on than my obviously very natural British accent. Well, we made this really awkward cut in the audio anyway, so we might as well use it. We don't have any ads or anything to bother you with, really. Just please remember, if you really like our show, we'd really be grateful if you leave us a review, or honestly at this point, if you even shout us out on Twitter, we'd love to hear what you have to say at Tendril Podcast, or if you want to support us on Patreon as well, we'd really appreciate that. I'm also going to take this time to make an announcement. We're going to be taking a hiatus starting after episode 11, which comes out 2 weeks from now, so that'll be August 14th. So from August 14th onwards, we're going to be taking a little break simply because we had a backlog and our production is very intense. So we have caught up on that lovely backlog and now we're kind of scrambling. So we're going to be taking off probably about a month or two, just to kind of reinforce
what we're doing and to produce more lovely episodes for you guys. We're not going to let that be dead air time, though. Every 2 weeks, we're still going to release something small, whether it's a mini-sode or an interview that we recorded for our Patreon supporters a while back. So keep an eye out. If there's anything you'd like to hear from us, anything that you're interested in hearing during this break, any kind of characters you're interested in, or any kind of interviews with cast members that you'd like to hear, or with fans that you'd like to hear, give us a shout out or send us a message, and we'd be happy to accommodate whatever we can. We're always happy to hear what folks like. So yeah, I think that's about it for today. I hope you all enjoy the rest of the episode and have a lovely tendril.
When Switch returns to the bridge, the room has completely transformed. In the center of the floor is the ship's manual, surrounded by a ring of burning candles, some scented like pineapple. Everyone is draped in white bedsheets appropriated from the linen closet, a facsimile of robes. Unspeakable tomes from the ship's library have been set up around the room, arcane symbols of protection displayed outward, decorated with talismans that haven't seen the light of day in a long time. Megula and Jinkies are both crunching old CD discs, which Cade looks at very sadly, into a salt-like consistency, sprinkling it around the circle, while Dermis tries to restrain 2B2 from vacuuming it off the floor with his mouth.
Hey, 2B, stop that.
I'm hungry.
You can get snacks when we're done with the ritual.
Cronus greets Switch with a makeshift robe, a large book tucked under his arm, its cover decorated with wires and mem chips.
This must feel familiar to you. All the robes. You guys really got a lot done.
Look, the faster we get it done, the faster we get these bozos off our ship.
Cade eagerly approaches, brandishing a crayon drawing that looks crudely like a sobbing woman. Finished.
The fuck is that for?
I thought it would be nice to have a reminder of the Yorona we liked.
It's not a seance.
Just let him have this.
Cade goes to hang it off of a loose wire dangling from the ceiling.
I volunteer as not it for fixing that wire later.
Okay, according to the Texas's handbook, we all have to stand in a circle and...
The ship jolts.
Where are my babies? The Jordok eggs, where have they gone?
You know where they went? You're being a drama queen.
Yeah. The worst kind of queen.
I cannot go on when my children have failed me. You are malicious, vile little things. None of us deserve to see the sun rise again.
Now, look here, miss. I'm done with this tomfoolery. We've gotten to the bottom of this quandary, and you are not going to ruin this shining moment for me. I've got a dude to impress.
A dude?
Ravi is now brandishing a blaster.
So, if you don't mind, unless you want one of your precious little panels shot to smithereens, I recommend you...
A few live wires, without anyone noticing, have snaked out of the wall and struck Ravi in his sides. Slightly scorched, he falls to the ground. His once glorious hair is now stuck out in every direction.
That is quite enough of that. I will not have you imbeciles ruining my villain speeches any longer.
The floor of the ship veers suddenly, knocking everyone in the room off balance as they slide away from the viewport. But now, on the other side of the glass windshield, they can see the bright blue surface of a planet many know about, but few non-aquatic creatures have ever visited. Depthus 5.
You are a burden I cannot bear any longer. But this suffering can end for all of us beneath the waves of Depthus 5. I will become the weeping woman of legend, and you, the children I failed to save. We must drown, so we can be together forever.
No! No! No!
But Cade's yell reaches a completely silent room. Everything has frozen in place in time. Every expression of fear, every spark and fluttering page has stopped, except for two people, Ravi is holding Cade's hand, his free finger resting on the button of his magical wristwatch, his eyes wide with terror.
Cade, it's time for us to go.
Tendril the Banshee Chronicles is written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borses. Tendril is created by Caitlin Radel, Ryan Borses, Taylor Finneran, and Brian Finneran. The theme song is written by Brian Finneran, and all additional music is written by Ryan Borses. Today's episode features Ryan Borses as the narrator and Dermis, Caitlin Radel as Switch, Eric Mayo as Cade Fledry and 2B2, Teron Middleton as Cronist Lochnew, Joelle Bird as Megula, Monique Borses as Yorona, and Christian Inez as Ravi. Tendril is only possible through the enthusiastic support of our friends, family, and listeners. If you're interested in helping to make this podcast a reality, please visit patreon.com/tendrilpodcast and check out our range of rewards.